So this is a message for today. Loud voices. Loud voices. I don't know about you, but I don't really like loud voices very much. Who doesn't like loud voices? Yeah, it kind of, it's kind of uncomfortable. Quite uncomfortable. But it does get your attention. And often that's why people use loud voices. You know, teachers, loud voices, so they can't, hey, you kids, pay attention. You know, it's to get attention. Parents, okay, stop fighting, you two. Stop fighting. Parents usually have used loud voices to us, and if we're not listening, guess what? The voice gets a bit louder. One of the loud voices that I hear is my cat at the back door. And his voice gets louder and more desperate. The hungrier he gets, the louder his voice gets. Okay. And people on phones, I don't know about you, but people on a bus or a train or somewhere in a cafe or somewhere, and they get on their phone and they're just talking like it's just them and the person, but there's a whole bunch of people there and they're talking a loud voice. It's kind of annoying and frustrating. So there's a contrast of why voices are loud, but it's mostly to get attention. So being Palm Sunday, I thought, I'm going to do a little study, and I did a study throughout the week, on like the week before Jesus went to the cross, the voices, some of the voices, the loud voices that were in his life at that time. So I want to contrast some of the voices that day, that week. Okay, so let's go to the first one. As he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, so Jesus is, like Lainey said, coming in on the donkey, okay? And the crowd, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they'd seen. So Jesus is entering in to the city, and he's on the donkey. You know, some of them expected him to be on the horse, like the champion, the savior. He just came in as a humble servant on the donkey. Nevertheless, it says his disciples, because of the awesome things that they'd seen him do and how wonderful he's been in their lives and such a blessing to everybody, it says they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Yay, Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna. What were we just saying? What were they saying? Blessed is the King, or Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You know, when we sing aloud in church. That's what they were doing. They were declaring with a loud voice the great things that God had done through Jesus, and what a blessing he has been. So here we have the loud rejoicing of the disciples, okay? And we're just going to run through to the next verse. And it says this, these are the religious leaders. Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. You'd think everyone would be happy, right? The Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, tell them to be quiet. Tell them to be quiet. But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." He's basically saying, look, I'm God. They're worshiping me. And if they don't worship me, creation itself will cry out with a loud voice and worship me. The Pharisees, the religious leaders who should have known the word of God was pertaining to him as the Messiah, they missed it totally. And they saw him as a threat. And so they're saying, tell them to be quiet. We don't like the loud noise they're making. We don't want to hear their voices giving praise to you. Okay, so of course what happens, they treat him as a big threat. He keeps teaching, he keeps preaching, the people love it, the priests hate it, the religious leaders are opposed to him, and they begin to plan and to plot how to kill him, not just to make him be quiet, but to kill him, okay? And so they use every kind of trick, and they would send people to try and trick him with this or that. Oh, should we pay taxes? And who are you? And of course, he outsmarts them with his wisdom every time. It makes them even madder. And so, you know, we just had communion. We're going through this week pretty quickly. He goes to the have communion, the Last Supper with his disciples. They go to the garden to pray. And of course, in the garden, Judas, one of his trusted disciples, betrays him. And then Jesus is arrested. And then they bring him before the authorities. The Pharisees think, you know what, we can't deal with him right now. We will take him to the higher authorities. We will take him to Herod. We'll take him to Pilate. We'll take him to the Sanhedrin. We'll go above and beyond. And we will get this guy and we will stop him. And so they take him to Pilate. Pilate is the Roman governor at that time because it was occupied territory. Okay, in Judea, in Israel there. Pilate is the Roman governor. And Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. So he gathers everybody. And he said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people." In other words, you are accusing him of being a traitor, basically, to you, of being a liar, of being a trickster, of being false. He said, "You brought him to me." He's telling his chief priests, rulers, and the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No. Neither did Herod. Herod was the Jewish ruler at the time. So the Jewish leader and the Roman governor both found nothing in him to accuse him of. Neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And then they brought him back to Pilate again. They're just doing everything they can to stop him. And he says this, "And indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. So they are seeking the death penalty." And he said, look, he's done nothing wrong, especially nothing deserving of death. Like, what is wrong with you people? "I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feast so that the people would come up each year to worship and for the feast of Passover." And at that point, one prisoner was released. Okay, so basically Pilate's saying, okay, look, this guy's not guilty, but I'll punish him and then I'll let him go because he's done nothing wrong. Fair enough? Because the people were really angry. They were frustrated. They were crying out for blood, basically. And he said, look, I'll punish him, and then I'll let him go. I can't hold him. He's done nothing wrong. Done nothing wrong, okay? There's no evidence. He's not guilty. But I will punish him. And off he goes. This is the loud voices here. They all cried out at once, all of them. The priests, the rulers, and the people, they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas." Barabbas, is he a good guy? "Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder." Barabbas was basically a terrorist and a murderer. He's in prison, and all the people are crying out with a loud voice, saying, "No, release him. Let him go. We don't want this Jesus to be released. We want Barabbas to be released. Were they just so disappointed that Jesus turned up on a donkey looking like a servant, looking like a weak person? Was he such a threat? Obviously, they thought he was a threat, and many people were disappointed in him. We don't want this guy, he looks weak. We want Barabbas, he's strong. He led a rebellion. He's strong. That's what we want. Pilate. So what's Pilate? Pilate's in a difficult place right now. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, he wants to let him go. Again, he called out to them, but they shouted. So he's calling out saying, hey, enough, come on. He's not guilty. Barabbas, are you crazy? But they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. Death penalty for Jesus. Death penalty for Jesus. Not the murderer, not the terrorist. They're yelling it. They're shouting it. Pilate's trying to say, come on, this doesn't make any sense. He doesn't know what's going on here. There's a huge battle going on in the spirit here. He doesn't realize what's going on. So they're shouting with loud voices, crucify him. And then he said to them the third time, why? Why? What evil has he done? I found no reason for death in him. I'll therefore chastise him and let him go. In other words, listen, I'm the boss here. I'm the Roman governor here. You are in, we are occupying your territory. I'm the boss. He's done nothing wrong. I'm going to punish him, let him go. But they were insistent. They weren't going to let this thing go. It's like a dog with a bone. Not going to let it go. They were insistent, demanding. They're not just shouting now, they are demanding. They're demanding. Like, no, you're not the boss. We're the boss. Demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and the chief priests prevailed. They won. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. You know, sometimes if you yell loud enough and long enough, people will back off. That's exactly what happened here. He was afraid of the people. He was afraid of the people. The fear of man brings a snare. He backed off and he gave in to their loud voices. They won the battle. They shouted. They outshouted him. They outshouted him. They insisted. They demanded. They kept pressing for it and they prevailed. You know, the interesting thing is, despite all these things happening, all of these things happening, all these loud voices against him. What did Jesus do? They took him to Calvary to crucify him. When they'd come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. So he's been treated as a common criminal, falsely accused, yelled at, screamed at, death penalty. This is what he did. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They're ignorant, they're blinded, they're deceived. Father, forgive them. And I'm sure he didn't whisper that. I think he probably said it in a very loud voice, because it was heard and it is written. It was heard. Not only that, it was about the sixth hour, so hours later, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The middle of the day, it's dark, it's black. It's like outside right now. The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. It was torn in two. What does that represent? The way to God. The way to the mercy seat, the way to the most holy place is now open. The blood of Jesus made a way. When Jesus had cried out, so he suffered for hours on the cross, terrible, painful death. And yet it says he cried out with a loud voice so everyone could hear. Loud voice. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. In a loud voice, he still had strength to commit himself, to show everyone that he was committed to the Father. And this was his moment. Here I come. Into your hands, not into their hands. I commit my spirit into your hands. And he breathed his last. He still had a loud voice. He still showed he was committed. He wasn't disappointed. He was committed. And the last verse that I want to go to is a loud voice that we are all looking forward to. A loud voice that we are looking forward to. You know, the disciples worshipped and rejoiced with loud voices. The enemies of God, they speak with a loud voice. But the voice that we want to hear, the loud voice we're looking forward to, and will be any time, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says this, the Lord himself will descend from heaven. He's coming back for us. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Here I am, guys. Come on up. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. Boop, 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 boop. Here we go. And the dead in Christ will rise first. What is this all about? The Thessalonians were wondering what happens to all those who died as believers. What happens to them? What happens to us? And Paul was explaining, don't worry, guys. It's all taken care of. Jesus is coming back. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, the ones of us who are still alive, shall be caught up together with them, all together, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How awesome is that going to be? And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Bye-bye, earth. Bye-bye, pain, suffering, sadness, sorrow. Bye-bye. No more sadness, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more sickness. It says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. That shout is going to come. That loud voice. Come on. Come on, guys. It's me. We're not going to challenge if it's him or not. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Those of us who've received him, hallelujah. That's the loud voice that we're waiting for. But in the meantime, you know what? Our lives should be a loud voice for the Lord. And you think, oh gosh, you know, I'm a shy person. I don't know much about the Bible. I can't share very much. But you know what? Our lives can speak for themselves. Our lives can be a loud voice and speak volumes for the Lord. As we are good examples, as we live in a godly manner and glorify him, our life is a loud voice that will bring attention to him and to his goodness. So as we go through this, you know, it starts out with rejoicing with the disciples, it ends up with rejoicing for us. But in the middle, there's challenges and there's loud voices. And in this life, we will have challenges and we will have loud voices that go, "Oh, you Christians," and put us down. But you know, you have to be like him. Stand strong, be forgiving, and just realize that people are blinded, that people are deceived. Be forgiving, and walk in love, and wait for that loud voice, for the shout of the Lord. Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you did for us, that you withstood the accusations, that you withstood the suffering, that you withstood all those, the opposition and the challenges. And Lord, your voice was not always loud, but your life was loud. It got attention, it brought glory, and it directed. Lord, I thank you that you direct us. You get our attention and you comfort us with your words. We thank you, Lord, that as we wait for your return, that our lives would bring glory to you, that our lives would speak volumes for you, and get the attention of many. And they will come, Lord, even as we did, out of darkness into your marvelous light. We just bless you and thank you for this week to come. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your awesome presence in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if anyone wants prayer, I want to pray with you. Otherwise, have an awesome week. And for those of you who can make it on Friday for the picnic, let's have a great time. Hallelujah. God bless. Bye, everyone online.
What time is the picnic?
4:30.